Pentecost. We welcome you on this Pentecost day as we celebrate. It's good to see everyone in red, which I take as a matter of faith. Since being colorblind, I can't see red, but it looks like a sea of green to me, but I trust it's red, including my own. But red is symbolic of fire, and we know that on this day we commemorate the 50th day, Penta, after Christ's resurrection, 10 days after his ascension, when he fulfilled the promise when he told his disciples to wait. Wait until you be endowed with power from on high. And we have been the recipients of the Holy Spirit since then. I don't know if you ever wake up and look in the mirror and think, as you're looking yourself early in the morning mirror and say, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you have that thought, but it's an awesome thought to think that God Almighty, the one who crafted all things, worked all things to reside in us so that we in all eternity can find our joy in him. So we're glad you're here on Pentecost. This is the birthday of the church, but it's also, this particular year, the birthday of one of our own. It just so happens she's front and center. So I would ask, and I know she'll do it because I'm her elder, I would ask that Sarah Dietrich would stand and we would sing Happy Birthday. Today through our musical ability, and so we're grateful for that. A couple announcements. We also want to express appreciation. A note that I received, I'll read it. Dear church family, we would like to thank you for all your thoughts, prayers, cards, and visits you have shown us through this difficult time. All were greatly appreciated. Love you all. Love Craig and Hazel. So we love our family, and we are there for each other, so thank you for that. One other announcement I have before, see if you have any, is 3 weeks from today, the 26th of June, we will be having a ice cream social and pool party. So begin preparing, making freezers of ice cream. Find your swimming trunks or a floppy hat, whatever's most appropriate, and we will be at the Kurtz's pool on the 26th, that's a Sunday, beginning at 2 o'clock. So let's begin preparing for that. Any other announcements? Any prayer requests this morning? Any particular prayer requests this morning? I want us to lift up, and I say this with her request, we want to lift up Agnes Lowry Campbell. She was diagnosed having COVID. She's feeling fine. But she would beseech your prayers. So let's keep Agnes in our prayers. Let's keep several that are traveling to New Hampshire and other places in our prayers. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Judy and I have a friend that lives in our neighborhood. His name is Werner. And his wife has been racked with pain. Back pain for years, and they gave her some nerve blocks or something, and that kind of got better. And then all of a sudden, she started having migraines, and she's in the hospital right now. So just keep Werner. I won't tell you the last name. It's pretty.
And what's his wife's name?
Kathy.
Werner and Kathy, okay. We will certainly keep them in prayer, brother. Any other items for prayer? Yes, ma'am.
Just for Barry's continued recovery. He's negative for COVID now, so he's not contagious, but he's still having fatigue and that sort of thing. And also my dad has what we assume is an infection in his eye. I'm hoping that he will be able to get into an eye doctor tomorrow.
Well, let's keep Barry in prayer and Mr. Van Horn in prayer as well. Your mother still doing well?
She's doing great. She back in the house yesterday, which,
that's,
you know,
great.
After heart surgery, that's a big deal.
I'm told nothing makes a woman feel better than to vacuum the house. I'm going, that's great. Anything else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you. On this day where we can sing happy birthday to individuals we love, and we can celebrate the birth of a church that we love, the Church of Jesus Christ, his bride, purchased by him, redeemed by him, and even in his return to the presence of the Father, to be gifted by his own Spirit, to not just be with us, but to be in us, to empower us, to enliven us, to seal us until the day in which we will all be home and celebrate your goodness for eternity. We pray for those who have gone on to their eternal home. We pray that you'll continue to be with their families. We thank you for the blessed truth of the communion of saints that just reminds us that we are all always together. May we not live by sight. May we not live by feeling. May we not live by our own reason, but may we accept your truth of eternal life, your truth that we are one together, your truth that it will be so for all eternity. So we thank you for that blessed comfort on this day of new birth. We pray that you would be with those that we've lifted up. We pray for the many that are traveling. Give them safety, just on a day in and day out way. May we always be appreciative and never take for granted the mercies that we have in traveling. We pray that in particular you be with those that are at a certain section or recovery from COVID. We pray that you'll continue to strengthen Barry, that you'll continue to strengthen Agnes. We pray that you'd be with Mr. Van Horn as he checks out what could be an infection in his eye. We pray that as a great physician that you would work healing there. We also pray that you would be with Werner and Kathy. We pray that you would uphold them, give comfort, give strength. Thank you that they have good friends and neighbors that remember them in prayer and in life. We just thank you again for this opportunity to gather into your house on this festive day. To celebrate your holy name. And we thank you that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we truly can do that which you've called us to. May we do it in the Spirit of Christ alone. And we ask this in his name. Amen. As always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. Let us look to the insert. We'll use Psalm 143, calling each to worship. Then we'll stand and sing hymn 331, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Lord, hear my prayer, and in your faithfulness, heed my supplications. Answer me in your righteousness.
And enter not into judgment with your servant, for in your sight shall no one living be justified.
For my enemy has sought my life. He has crushed me to the ground. He has made me to live in dark places like those who were long dead.
My spirit faints within me. My heart within me is desolate.
I remember the times past. I muse upon all your deeds. I consider the works of your hands.
I spread out my hands to you. My soul gasps to you like a thirsty man.
O Lord, make haste to answer me. My spirit fails me. Do not hide your face from me, or I shall be like those who go down to the pit.
Let me hear of your loving kindness in the morning, for I put my trust in you. Show me the road that I must walk, for I lift up my soul to you.
Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord, for I flee to you for refuge.
Teach me to do what pleases you, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground.
Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring me out of trouble.
Of your goodness, destroy my enemies, and bring all my foes to naught, for truly I am your servant.
Amen. Let us stand and sing.
Yeah. first reading today is from Genesis 11, 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us, by the same Spirit, to have a right judgment in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, eternally, welcoming us into your presence with full access through your Spirit as your holy children who are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading for the day is from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. And when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder, like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound was heard, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying, Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene and sojourners from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them speaking in our tongues the mighty works of God. And they were all amazed and were perplexed, saying one to another, What meaneth this? But others mocking said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spake forth unto them, saying, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and give ear unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which hath been spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, saith God, I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my servants and on my handmaidens in those days will I pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the day of the Lord come, that great and notable day. And it shall be that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We give you praise forevermore. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 14, verses 23 through 31. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Few people like to read Scripture, or speak publicly for that matter. I should say read Scripture publicly. And even of the readers we have, most will opt out of that week if there are too many difficult words. One even goes all the way to Wisconsin to avoid having to read on Pentecost Sunday. Did a great job. Pronounced every word just perfectly, so I'm told. The beautiful thing about Koinonia Greek, it's a dead language, so no one knows how it was spoken. So it is the word of the Lord, and we are grateful for its hearing. We thank you, our Father, that we gather as your children. That gives us a father by definition. It gives us brothers and sisters by your great blessed design. And it gives us your own spirit residing within, knitting us as one. We're blessed people. For no other reason. We're grateful. And we ask that that spirit that was given to us in full measure would guide our hearts and our minds and the words of my mouth. May they be few and may they be completely directed by your spirit, pointing as your spirit always does, only to the eternal word of Jesus Christ. Through his name we pray. Amen. Last week we started looking at eulogies. And we started looking at Jesus' eulogy from John 17. We did four. And we're going to do four more today, which fits into Pentecost. Last week we looked, if you'll look in John 17, we looked in verse 4 in the listing of things that Jesus said, I have done while I was alive. The things that he gave his life for, the priorities he lived for, and that which would have been appropriate to speak at his eulogy had he not interrupted his celebration of life or memorial service by resurrecting. I asked at the beginning of last week's sermon, since we were speaking of eulogies, what would you want spoken at your funeral? One wise fellow told me afterwards that what he once heard spoken more than anything else at his funeral is, look, he's moving. But I don't know if that's in the cards for most of us. Rather, what will be left is those of us who remain to lift up those things that were precious and prioritized by the individual. As I spoke last week, having come out of preparing a eulogy for Barsha, some eulogies are easy to write. None would be more perfectly written than that for the perfect Son of God, who wrote his own in John 17, of those things that he did on earth. We looked at the first four. In John 17, we see in verse 4, Jesus said, I have glorified God on the earth. The end of verse 4, the second, he says, I have finished the work God gave me. Verse 6, we see that he has manifested God's name. In verse 8 and in verse 14, Jesus says, I have given them your word. In verse 8, the Rhema word, that specific word that's given in specific situations. And in verse 14, the Logos word. He has given them your word. And now the final four speaks to the real heart of Jesus Christ for his children. And a heart that I have seen reflected in my ministry. And just the way life works and the calling I have, it's probably fair to say I've spent more time, I've been humbled and honored to spend more time with people as they are in the process of dying than the average person is. And often there's a desire from the individual who is months or weeks or hours away from stepping into eternity, they want to speak to me privately. So we ask the family to leave, and I have an opportunity to be with the individual, and they share with me. And you would love to know what they would say. And you'll never know what they say, but let me say very quickly, rarely, not completely, but rarely do they share any major secret or confess any issue. That's rarely happened. Almost never is there a great deal of fear of what's awaiting them. But almost to a person, what is weighing on the mind of the one who's about to step away? Longing against mad that they didn't have to. Almost feeling somewhat guilty that they are stepping away. Almost to a person, the biggest concern that people have shared to me is, my family going to be okay? Are those that I love going to be okay? Am I dropping the ball? I feel like, what's going to happen to them? Without a doubt, that's been the predominant concern. How are those I love going to fare with my passing? I think that's reflective of love. And love comes from God. So it shouldn't surprise you that the epitome of that feeling is Jesus Christ himself. For in the midst of the agony of his leaving this earth, what was chief on his mind was not what he was going to have to endure. What was chief on his mind is, how are my children going to do? How are those boys and girls that I call my sheep, how are they going to fare? So he ends by saying four other things he's done for us. For he did say, it is good that I go. If you love me, you would want me to go. But in the midst of it, he's telling his disciples, he's telling you and me, And I also think he's speaking his own truth when he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And I love this phrase. It might not sound like the most powerful, but to me it's probably my favorite phrase. When he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. See, one thing we learn from Jesus Christ is he doesn't flatter. He speaks the truth. Do you know some people in life that may be full of compliments, but you discredit all of them because they just flatter? Do you know what I'm speaking of? Beginning the pandemic, Sherry and I have been watching two or three times a week, just a mental relief, a show that I wasn't acquainted with, but I've grown to like it. It's called Leave It to Beaver. Yeah. You remember Leave It to Beaver?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I really, 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 Beaver's fine. I really, really, really like Ward. I really like his brother Wally. But I can't stand Eddie. You know Eddie Haskell?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's always pleasant. And he's always nice. And he's always giving compliments. And you hold your wallet while he's speaking. Because he's far from the truth. He's saying what he's saying, not because it's truthful. He's saying what he's saying to get a response. Jesus Christ doesn't flatter. He speaks the truth. And he reminds us, if it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus is quick. When someone's a whitewashed tomb, to say, you're a whitewashed tomb. He's quick to be truthful and blunt. So we can bank on it when he tells us, let not your heart be troubled. And here's some things he's done for us if we pick up again in John 17. In verse 12, the fifth thing we see, he says he's done. I have kept all those you gave me. I have kept all those you gave me. I've lost things by my own stupidity, misplaced them. I'm losing things all the time. And I would like to say that given the many decades I've been absent-minded and losing things, it wouldn't bother me, but it still bothers me. It angers me, and I'm saddened by things I've lost. My first study Bible, I would just give anything for. But I carelessly, one day after preaching somewhere, years ago, decades ago, put it on top of my cab and got in the truck and drove away, and I carelessly lost that, and I miss it. You have lost things that you miss. Jesus Christ has never lost one of his children. He's not careless with them the way I am with things. He's careful with them. And to hear the Son of God say, I have treasured you. And it's beautiful, for he says, I've not lost one except one. The son of perdition, who was lost from the beginning. His name, Judas, means wasteful. And he was, from the beginning, lost. So let me ask you just logically. If Jesus Christ says, I've only lost one, what does that mean for the rest of us? I'm kept. We are kept. We are treasured. We are kept. I love the phrase in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 18, God just cries out, and he simply makes a declarative statement. He says, all souls are mine. There may be times in your life you may not think anybody cares. There may be times where you might think that you could pass And no one would know for 2 or 3 days. You might think that your life is not that significant or meaningful. But I'm here to tell you, the Word is here to declare to you that Jesus Christ, above all things, keeps you because you're valuable to Him. He is the one who keeps us, and He holds us, and He says, I have not lost one of you. So, you have a fear of failing? You have a fear of falling? Do you have a fear that you're going to miss out? I think there's even a syndrome, the fear of missing out. Do you ever feel like there's going to be something important and you won't be included? We come together every Sunday, and hopefully you gather every morning in your own devotions and remind you that there is a party. It's a party that's being thrown by God Almighty with all the heavenly hosts and all the angels. And as the psalmist would say, you're the apple of His eye. He said, I have kept them, the ones that you have given me. He treasures you. The sixth thing He says in verse 18 is, I have sent them out into the world. Now, it's instructive that He keeps us. He tells us we're kept before He sends us out, so that when we go out, we have the confidence of knowing we're not going to get lost. He keeps us. We won't be lost. Therefore, as Jesus Himself in Philippians 2, knowing that He cannot lose the grandeur and essence of divinity, He was free to lay it aside because He knew He couldn't lose it. It was His. And He could lay it aside temporarily to serve others. And in the same way, because we know we are kept by Him, we have the freedom to go out. In verse 16, we go out into the world, but we're not of the world. We as Christians don't have the right to isolate ourselves. We don't have the right to gather into our little conclaves and enclaves and just sort of ignore the world. We're to go out and to be salt and to be light into the world. We're to go out into the world and be Jesus to others. A book I like to read, it's sort of light reading. There have been 2 or 3 revisions of it or incarnations. But it's written by a journalist, and it's simply called God Winks. Any of you read any of the God Winks work? And it's just little stories of how God operates. Do you know that God winks to others through you? You are used by God in the world where you're placed. It may be your customers. It may be your neighbors. It may be your family members. It may be people that you just bump into. But we're sent into the world to, as it says in verse 20 of John 17, if you look at that, to rescue the perishing. And one of the things that we offer to the world as we go out into the world is, and I know this applies to all of you, or you wouldn't be here. I know you. I know all of you, so I know this applies. But we offer to the world a group of people, we go out and we truly believe something, don't we? That's rare in today's world. We offer that there is an answer. We offer that there is a truth. We're not just in a sea of confusion and chaos. And that one day wouldn't have been a rare thing, but it is today, though it's always been somewhat of a rare thing. I like to look at friendships through history. And there's some ironic friends that would surprise you along the way. And there was a gentleman who was quite pious. He was a Reformed evangelist, and he would do meetings around, and you may know his name. His name was George Whitfield. George Whitfield was quite a powerful preacher, a Reformed preacher, and he would just a godly man. And he had a good friend. who was probably not would be characterized as a godly man. His name was Benjamin Franklin. And his story is told by a reporter that Benjamin Franklin, who was a good friend of George Whitefield, went to Whitefield's meetings whenever he was in the New England area close enough that Franklin could attend. And one time this reporter asked Mr. Franklin, "Why do you go to this service? Why do you go and hear content that you don't believe? Unless you've converted, I think, you don't believe this stuff." And Franklin says, "I don't go to hear Mr. Whitefield preach because I believe it. I go to hear him preach because he believes it." That's a gift we offer to the world. Because we hopefully, by everything we say and do, when we go out into the world, because we understand we're kept when we are sent out, that's our message. Through the difficulties of life, someone has my back. Through the times of loneliness, let me introduce you to a friend. I don't think anyone cares about me. Let me bring you into the body. Let me bring you into a community. My brother sent me a joke that is funny, but it's powerful too. You've heard it. About the little school teacher that asked the kids to bring symbols of their faith. And the little Jewish kid brought in a menorah. And she said, "Oh, that's very good." And the little Roman Catholic child brought in a crucifix. He said, "That's very, very nice." And the little Protestant child brought in a casserole dish. And that's sort of a symbol of our faith. We are the people. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that's not just a joke. When you're hurting, who else is going to bring you a casserole dish? Who else is going to be there? Who else is going to be there for the world? Communicating, "Someone loved me. Someone has my back. Someone keeps me. And let me tell you about them. Let me show you that love. I've sent them out into the world." The seventh thing we see in verse 22, "I have given them our glory." You've probably heard preachers say before, and it's just not true, biblically speaking. I know what they're trying to say, but you ever heard a preacher say, "God will not share his glory"? Well, I understand if what they're trying to communicate is we shouldn't be parading around how wonderful we are. I understand if what they're trying to say is we should be humble. But the truth of the matter is, the whole message of Christianity is God seeks to share his glory. The whole message of Christianity is that his glory, Christ's image, is what he wants us to have. The whole prayer of John, the whole life of Jesus, is that God wants us to be a part of his glory. That incarnation to glorification. And I want you to turn over to a passage in 2 Corinthians 5. In 2 Corinthians 5, we see a phenomenal statement of not only sharing in his glory, but being his glory. If you'll allow me to read the conclusion first, then I'll back up and read how it matters. In 2 Corinthians 5, and it's just interesting that 2 Corinthians 5 is all about how we live in a tent that's growing, and one day we'll put away like a tent that we break camp from. And you've probably heard the first part of 2 Corinthians 5 used at funerals. But based on that, our hope is that we can put that tent away, because our true identity is found in verse 21. "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You are the righteousness of God. No, you didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't craft it. But you are, by His work and His declaration, the righteousness of Christ. Now, that probably should change things, shouldn't it? If we truly understood that, what would that change? Well, if you look up in verse 16, we'll see what it changes. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, what He's saying is because we are the righteousness of God in Christ, we have that affect the way we see people. You ever gotten mad at anyone? You ever gotten frustrated at anyone? Have you ever gotten frustrated at people you don't know? Have you ever gotten frustrated at people you know quite well? Is the first thing that goes through your mind when you're frustrated with someone, you know what? They're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not what I think. I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of opinions. I have a lot of considerations that I'm thinking. But first and foremost, when I'm angry at someone or frustrated or disappointment or hurt, my first thought is not, that's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if I felt that way, if I thought that way, it would change. And the glory would be shared. It's an interesting question. How does Jesus see the person you can't stand? How does Jesus consider the one that frustrates you? But then again, not only how do you look at others, when you look at the mirror and you just wonder, it would change and we would share the glory. And then finally, let me say the last thing as we're going through these many things is the last thing is I have given them my love. If you'll look with me at the final one verse, which is verse 24. I told them your love and that we are going to heaven together. This is all about intimacy. If you'll go with me in your listening, in John, we see in John 6, Jesus is saying, I and them. In John 10, He then says, you and me. So if Jesus says, I and them, and then in John 10, He says, you and me, and now He says, and us together to be with us eternally. We're talking about intimacy. Let me, for time's sake, just draw to the close two different things. One you've said and one you're going to hear. Have you ever wished that you could have lived when Jesus lived? Do you ever wish that you could have seen? Are you envious sometimes of the people that actually got to be with Jesus? Well, I'm going to suggest to you, and others have through the history of the church, we actually know Christ more than those disciples that rubbed shoulders with Him. Let me read from Leo from the 5th century. For the Son of Man, dearly beloved, was revealed more perfectly and more solemnly as the Son of God once He returned to the glory of His Father's majesty. And in a mysterious way, He began to be more present to them in His Godhead once He had become more distant in His humanity. Then faith gained deeper understanding and by a leap of the mind began to reach out to the Son as the equal of the Father. It no longer needed direct contact with Christ's bodily substance by which He is less than the Father. For though the glorified body remains a body, the faith of believers was being drawn to touch not the hand of flesh, but the understanding of the Spirit, the only begotten Son, equal of the Father. See, in the days of Jesus, only those in Jesus' presence was in the presence of the Son. For him to say, it's good that I go away, for if I go away, I'll send you a spirit. Guess who has the full experience and reception of the Spirit of Jesus Christ today? Would you each raise your hand? You do. You do. And it fell on you just like it's fallen on all. And he is in you. It's so intimate. It can never be taken. And it is your comfort. Do me a favor. Don't ever say you're alone. Since Pentecost, none of us are ever alone. We're kept. And we're held. And we're loved. And where he is, we're going to. If it were not so, he would have told us. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of surprises, your Spirit brooded over the waters at creation and lived among your chosen people in wilderness, exile, and promised land. Your Spirit filled Mary's womb at the moment of Jesus' conception and came upon him like a dove at his baptism. When Christ died on the cross, your power raised him from the tomb on the third day. And that same evening, he breathed your forgiving grace on those who had deserted him. On the day of Pentecost, you sent your Spirit upon the fearful disciples, filling them with fire, with power, with wonder and joy, and making them your church. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of comfort and strength, we look to your Holy Spirit to be with us in sorrow and in contentment, in crisis and in abiding stillness of joy. Come among us now through the power of your Spirit, that we may be transformed into your image, and that these gifts of bread and of wine may be for us the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took the bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of dreams and prophecy, send down upon us your gifts of wisdom, knowledge, and faith, of healing, discernment, and interpretation, that your church may be built up in the likeness of your Son. Let anyone who is hungry find in you the bread of life, and anyone who is thirsty find in you the rivers of living water. Speak your word to all who are alone and in fear or despair, and let each one of your children hear your voice in their own language, whether the language be art or science, work or play. Sanctify your groaning creation, that your universe may breathe your breath and be filled with your life anew, that we may love what you love and do what you would do. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. One of the most powerful images I've ever seen, brothers and sisters, was a nativity, live nativity, where throughout the Holy Mother of our Lord, Mary, was holding her young infant in her arms. We could see Mary, we could see the swaddling clothes, the little bundle of joy in her arms. We could see her tender, loving adoration as she looked at the one she loved. It was actually a demonstration from John 6. And at the end, we saw Mary take, and she held, pulled back the swaddling cloth, and she saw that in her arms was a large loaf of bread. And the point was, as Jesus said, is that from his coming as a baby, incarnated at the manger, to his leaving, but leaving us his promise of word and sacrament, that we meet him and we come. We sort of know that feeling when we see little children on our own. You see your children or your grandchildren. Have you ever had the feeling, and sometimes you even speak, there's such love and intimacy, I'd like to eat you up. So we want to be in the one we love. So does our Lord and Savior. He is in us, and that is hope of glory. We are in him. That's our eternal life. We receive that which he gave for us, the very body and blood of Christ. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come and to receive him as the body. Come and receive the body. The table is spread. Come and receive. We thank you, our Father, for loving us before the foundation of the world, for creating us in your image, redeeming us in your Son, declaring us your righteousness, and keeping us in your Spirit until we and all your body through all eternity sing praises to our eternal head. We thank you for the love we share with one another, the love we have for you, and the understanding from your Spirit that all of this love is only because he first loved us. Thank you for your love, for your gift, and in your Son. Amen. Let us stand and sing our final hymn as we close our worship. Peace to love and serve our Lord.